Middle of a three-part series on love to help us more fully understand what love is. We're considering the four Greek words used for love. Last week we read about and discussed agape love, otherwise known as God's perfect love. Today we'll be discussing eros love. It is the type of love most closely related to Valentine's Day, which is why I picked it to be the one we talked about today. Eros is the Greek term that describes romantic or sexual love. The term portrays the idea of passion and intensity of feeling. The meaning of eros is slightly different than our modern term erotic, because we often associate erotic with ideas or practices that could be considered naughty or inappropriate. This isn't the case with eros. Instead, eros describes the healthy, common expression of physical love. Lord, as we come today to look more in your Bible, to talk more about this word love, help us to grasp even more. Lord, we're limited. We're limited by our own human understanding. We're coming to understand. We're limited even by our English language. But today, as we focus once again on love, help us to truly embrace and understand this type of love that you have given to us as a gift. This love that is intended to be shared between a man and a woman. Help us to truly know and understand that from your perspective. This prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a depiction of eros love in the Bible. And if you're not sure about what I'm saying, I want to encourage you to do something this Valentine's Day week. I want you to read the book of Solomon, or the book of Song of Songs, with your significant other. And I mean it, with your significant other. It may generate some interesting conversations. It may very well be the most steamy thing that you as a couple have experienced in a while. But I do want you to understand this. The Bible does not shy away from the reality of romantic love or physical passion. Indeed, the Scriptures celebrate physical love when experienced within its proper boundaries. Now, I want to be clear in case you decide to do an in-depth word study. We talked all about agape and where it was found in the Scripture. Last week, the book of Solomon does not contain the word eros. I want you to understand why. What language did we say eros came from? The Greek. Does anybody know what the Old Testament is written in? Hebrew. So we aren't going to find the word eros translated directly in the Old Testament because it wasn't written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew, but still, the Song of Solomon provides a clear example of what the Greeks envisioned whenever they spoke of wrote of these words using the term eros. Well, so with that clarification of something else, you would expect to see the word eros used to describe romantic love in the New Testament, correct? Wouldn't that make sense? Guess what? It's not there either. So why are we talking about it? It's not even in the Bible. There's a reason that it's not there. By the time the New Testament was being written, the thoughts, meaning, and practices associated with romantic love had become so degraded and corrupt that they shied away from including anything that could be comparable to it in the Scriptures. This is why much of what we read about such love in the New Testament is much more about boundaries than it is about that type of love. Yet even then, Scripture shies away from the use of the term eros because of its negative connotation. I'm just curious, do you think we still have any of this struggle today? Certainly we do. I want to tell you a story. This is actually kind of telling a story on myself. I was a young youth pastor. Somewhere in one of our youth meetings, the topic of love and sex came up. My youth confronted me saying, Greg, You can't even say the word sex without turning red. They were right. I was young 20-something, and I wasn't sure exactly how to handle this topic. I spent a week or so reflecting on this truth, on what these teenagers had said to me, and about what I was supposed to be doing in terms of teaching and leading and guiding those that were looking to me. Why was it an issue for me, and what was God wanting me to do? Ignoring it or skirting the issue no longer seemed to be an option. In fact, I became convinced that avoiding the uncomfortable sex discussion was actually contributing to the issues facing our students and keeping them from understanding the overall idea of what love really is. I planned what I called a relationship weekend. For the opening of the retreat, I required a parent or guardian of every youth to be present. On a whiteboard, I listed every term, positive and negative, I knew and could find that related to the word sex or love. Now, just to be clear how honest I was, I did all of them. Now, some of them I put the first letter in dashes, but they were all up there. Imagine for just a moment what it would be like for you to sit as a teen. This was 25 years ago that this happened, by the way. So you could have very well been a teenager. To sit beside your parents in a youth group meeting, seeing words written in black and white that had probably only been seen by you in the confines of bathroom stalls. Alongside these most uncomfortable words were words such as love, intimacy, sex, sexuality, passion, sensuality, and joy. We told parents we were going to be talking openly and honestly with students throughout the weekend about God's view of love and sex, as well as confronting head-on the issues with the way the world degraded God's view of physical love. I don't see anybody nodding off today. Most of the former youth who today are in their 40s, and I'm still in contact with some of them, and you could go and have a conversation with yourself, and I think this will prove true, will more than likely still remember renaming this event that I called the relationship retreat. They called it the sex retreat. But they still will also remember that love and sexuality is a gift from God and not something we should allow the world to take away from us. I don't have time to go into all the teachings this morning that were a part of that weekend retreat. But I do want us to spend a few moments considering how we receive this gift from God. First of all, love your spouse. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, "However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Now, even just pausing right there, the world, and a lot of times Satan himself, wants to take things and turn them around. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 is something that's been misused even in the Christian sense, because there's words in there that talks about women being submissive. Now, do you think when I got married, we put in our wedding vows and I told Christy, one of your roles to me is to be submissive to me every day of my life? Do you think that happened? If so, how do you think that went? Now, the other part of that question is it scriptural? Yes, it is. But the problem is we take it and turn it around and misuse it, and we want to use it in that way and talk about what the wives are supposed to do. But very rarely, when that gets pointed out, does it also, alongside of that, mention the part that talks about in Scripture where the husband is supposed to be as Christ is to the church and give his life for her. Now, I dare say, if a man is willing to care and love and dedicate his life in that type of manner to his wife, very rarely will she have a problem being respectful. There's too many different ways to describe that word submissive. And I'm not taking anything from the Scripture. The Scripture is true and the Scripture is right. But a lot of times we have taken the words in the English language and distorted them to mean what we want them to mean. And we have to be very careful. So continuing on, I'm going to say something and I may have to say it twice so you realize you hear me right. Sex is a gift. Yes, I'm a pastor standing up in the pulpit saying this today. Sex is a gift. And more than that, I'm going to encourage you to make God a part of your sex life. Sex is a beautiful part of the bigger picture of what God intends for a Christian marriage to be. And if you're not married yet, it's part of a gift that is to be yet to be recognized by you, and it will be a great experience if you go about it the right way. Don't let the world rob you of this God-given gift. God created our bodies. Don't you think He knows how they work? Don't you think He knows what's supposed to go where? He made us that way. I believe with all my heart that God placed within us the desire we have for sexuality. He also gave us a desire for food. But listen to this. There is an appropriate and inappropriate way to satisfy each of these appetites. How many of you like chocolate? Raise your hand. I mean it. Raise your hand if you like chocolate. All right. Noah, your hand needs to be way up in both of them because I'm about to talk about you. Noah, for his birthday, from his grandpa, his favorite candy is Tootsie Rolls. So you know what grandpa did? Grandpa went to Sam's. You know what they have at Sam's, don't you? And got the biggest bag of Tootsie Rolls that I think exist. And so this weekend, as we sat in my parents' living room, Noah sat there with that bag open and a huge smile on his face. And finally, when the pile of empty Tootsie Roll wrappers got about this high, I said, Noah, you have to stop. He said, just one more, please. Then I told him he had to go put those away, and he didn't eat anymore, at least for a while. But he could have sat there and continued, and he was enjoying them, and they were good. But was it good for him? Was it the best way for him to enjoy those Tootsie Rolls? Was it even what Grandpa intended when he gave them to him? Probably not in any of those cases. The same is true when it comes to our sexual relationships. It is a gift from God, and it's beautiful, and it's physically satisfying, and it's intended to be that way, and we shouldn't have to apologize about it, and our faces shouldn't have to get red, and we shouldn't have to snicker whenever something like that comes up. And if that's what's happened, it's because we haven't understood it the way God intends it to be. Instead, we've allowed the world and the way the world describes it around us to make us think it's just not right for us as Christians to have conversations about this. When we seek to fill our appetites in a manner contrary to God's plans, there are consequences. When we seek to fulfill our appetites in the way God intends, He blesses us beyond our comprehension. When we see, appreciate, and honor our spouse as God intends, things fall into place, both big and small. I believe that when we're willing to take that love, that type of love, that physical, intimate, attractive love that exists between a man and a woman, that type of love tends to be most expressive and feel it the most strong when that relationship first starts happening. But how many times have you been aware in your own relationships or others that love is there, but then somehow or another it just seems to go away and people just seem to coexist? They don't even know if there's love that's really there. That's what happens when we don't embrace love the way God intends. And so there's something that a reading that I share quite often in weddings that talks about what happens when we tend to get it right. How that love continues beyond just the excited feelings we have at the beginning. In fact, instead of continuing, it finds a way to grow. And it's expressed in the little things and big things. Listen to this. Some days, it will be easier than others to express your love. But remember, it's not only the big things that strain a relationship. Little things can pull two people apart, like hogging the bathroom, coming home late without calling, not respecting a closed door by knocking first, forgetting to say thank you after someone goes out of their way for you, not noticing when someone shows you they care. It's the little things that are important, like saying hello and goodbye warmly and meaning it, kissing goodnight, trying to be friendly, smiling and laughing together, taking the time to ask, how was your day? Listening to the reply. And enjoying the good feeling of knowing that someone else wants to listen to what you have to say. Having a place you can go and be accepted, and have that place be your home. I could go on, but I hope you see how God desires us to show and demonstrate the fullness of physical, romantic, attractive love without hesitation, without apology, and without regret. And when we do that, it becomes so much bigger than that little way, misconstrived as it is, way the world tries to do it. Beyond loving your spouse, I believe it's also important that we teach our children about this type of love. Talk to your children about love. Talk to them about the differences in love. Talk to them about God's love, about our love for our family, our love for humanity, and yes, the way we love a significant other. Our children need to know there's a difference, an appropriate difference. Do you really want them to try to figure this out on their own or get an explanation from someone you may not even know? Consider what steps God might want you to take in providing examples, having discussions, or opening the doors for questions and conversations about what love really is. You can do this. The world desires to manipulate our appetites, to exploit us, to abuse people, to gain power, and to make money. It's no longer appropriate for us as believers to pull back from the issues with this issue with a sense of embarrassment. Besides leaving our children to figure it out on their own, the byproduct of this includes but is not limited to things such as pornography and human trafficking and so much more. I think it's time we take back the God-given gift of love, physical love, the world has tried to take away. If you weren't here last week, for this to really happen, it truly has to start with God's love. We can't love each other as husband and wife, as a significant other, until we understand God's love for us, because it's out of God's love that we begin to see others as God sees them. And that's how we're able to express this type of love in the way that it's intended. Appreciate the beauty of physical romantic love as God intended, and celebrate. I'm going to ask you to do something that's probably going to be a little surprising. I'm going to invite you, all of you in some way, but a few of you in a very particular way, to be a part of a simple act today. I'm going to ask all of the married couples who are here together today to come and stand up front. You're not going to have to say a word, I promise, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I just invite you to come and stand together up front here. And those of you who are remaining, some of you, I realize your spouse isn't here. Some of you don't have a spouse. Some of you, your spouse has passed away. That doesn't mean you're not a part of what we're about to partake in. But these couples, if you're spread across the front, so you have a little bit of room. I simply ask you to stand here together as a commitment, expressing to each other the gift of love we have been given through Christ. So I'm going to share some words, and I just invite you to hear these words. And then allow them maybe later today to be a part of a discussion. Maybe they become a part of a prayer for you as a couple. But I'm going to share these, and then I'll close with a prayer myself. God has brought you, this couple, here together, already united in His love, previously joined in holy matrimony, with faith in God above. Let your faith guide your lives with the measure of God's grace. For this is what keeps love strong through whatever you may face. Keep building your marriage on the foundation of Christ. It will not crumble or give way through the daily pressures of life, but it will stand the test of time, growing stronger day by day. Just keep your hearts truly united. Join as one when you pray. The cord that binds your hearts will not fray or break in two. When you build your lives on God, He will walk with you. Lord, for these couples who stand here today, I pray a blessing on them. I pray that you will enable them to continue to grow through that love that you gave them, that gift that came from you, so that they might be able to express to each other love and care and joy and celebration in intimacy, but also in struggles and times of hardship. God, I ask right now that as we stand at this altar, as we acknowledge that you are the author and giver of love, that we might embrace that. That we might be willing to take a hold of that in a way that then we're able to share it. And may it begin for these couples right here with each other. Lord, if they've had a struggle in any way with this in the recent past, I pray that you will reveal to them the barriers, the things that Satan has wanted to put in their way to keep them from experiencing the love that you have given them. And Lord, as each of them continue to grow in this, I pray it will be an example to others who can see that they're focused on you and that you are the one that can draw together love as it's intended to be. God, I thank you for the gift of love, the gift of relationships, the gift of each couple who is here. And I pray once again that you will bless them as they grow in their relationship with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This love stuff is real. It's not just about a feeling that we have inside. Love is about feeling, but it's also love, when it's real, is manifest in action, in the way we care and demonstrate love for each other. And when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that love comes through in a significant way. So for you couples who are here today, I pray that God has touched not only your heart, but your marriage in a specific way. For those who have been hurt in marriage relationships, I pray that you will seek healing, knowing that God desires to provide. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it happens quickly. But God has a plan and a purpose in our relationships, not only with Him, but with each other. If you have yet to experience a marriage relationship, I pray that you won't fall into the trappings of whatever the world may say about what that relationship should look like. But you will truly go to God and allow Him to be the one to lead you in that relationship. Let's stand together. Ask our worship team to come up. I'll say a prayer and then we'll share together. Would you bless our homes and families? Lord, it has been unusual, I believe, to have some of the conversations we just had today. And Lord, I can't help but wonder if that may have been a mistake of our past, that we don't spend more time acknowledging that You are the author of all love, not just Your perfect love for us, but the love that we have for each other. God, help us to make You a part of these type of relationships, to put You first so that we can truly love each other the way, God, we deserve to be loved by each other. And know that we can't do that without You. God, thank You for that gift. In Jesus' name I pray.